world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Let's begin.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
What do you think we are? Gangsters?
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Can I interrupt? I'll address the Keon situation.
Earlier on the show, five-time Pro Bowler Teron Armstead. Coming up, ESPN college football analyst Josh Pate. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated is going to join us in an hour right from this moment to tell us what happened with the Bills in their press conference yesterday to lead to some of the comments being said, a lot of the backstory there, as well as spinning it forward when we might see other coaching jobs filled. What is going on with the Ravens gig? Is it close to Jesse Minner? Could the Chargers lose their defensive coordinator to the spot where Jim's brother left or was told to leave? Pardon me. It was Tomlin who left his gig willingly in Pittsburgh. The latest on all of that. Again, that's 1 hour from now. But we figured let's bring Josh Pate back on this program now that the college football season is all done and have, I guess, a college football exit interview with the ESPN college football analyst, Josh Pate. Good to see you, Josh. How are you, sir?
All right.
I'm good. I got acupuncture for the first time in my life today.
Okay.
So I'm laid out. Yeah, this pertains to you, by the way. I'm not just running down my schedule so far today.
Please.
So I'm sitting there. I've got needles all over my head and my ears. And my wife is there because anytime I do something for the first time, I take her with me.
Okay.
And right. I'm floating in and out of consciousness. And she drops the, hey, Rich Eisen wants to know if you want to come on a show. She had my phone in her hand.
Okay.
Always safe. And I said, what must this be about? I mean, we're like 72 hours removed from the championship.
Right.
But I told her without hesitation, yes. Ask him if he can move it up an hour. Yes, I will do it. So I'm happy to be here, man.
I appreciate that, Josh. Amazing. I didn't mean to interrupt anything because I also know, having done acupuncture in my existence, that the first time I did it, you know, you're right. You're floating. You're figuring like, oh God, this is pretty cool. But I'm a little bored, you know, with my own thoughts. So stupidly, I reached for my phone, but moved in a way that there was an electrical shock that shot me right down the entire body. And I thought to myself, that probably is the spirit of my wife, not there, saying, put your damn phone down. So, you know, like that's my answer to your story, Josh.
I did it. I tensed up because I started to lean up and whatever happened to me, I felt like I was at a 49ers practice. Whatever happened to me,
you
pulsated through my entire body and I laid right back down. I let her handle it.
Okay, very good. And I'm glad you are now here. No, the reason why I reached out, Josh, is because, yeah, I know we're 72 hours clear. But this is a football-loving nation in which we reside, and the portal's done. And I that was an interesting part of our conversation last week, so I want to button that up. But let me give you the floor on what you think Indiana's mean win writ large means for the sport and for everything going on, Josh.
All right, so I still think they're an outlier in a sense that if you just look at what it took for them to do what they did, I've never seen a team as efficient as them. It was like as close as we could get to AI football without it being AI football. That's how ruthlessly efficient they operated. And so I still think that's a really, really fine needle to have to thread. I do think there was a little bit of a Roger Bannister type effect of, you know, it took forever for a human being to run a sub 4 minute mile. And then Roger Bannister does it. And then like a million people did it. And so you look at it and you say, well, was it always this easy? Well, no, it was never easy, but it was possible. It just took someone showing you that it could be done. And likewise, Indiana could have a little bit of a Roger Bannister type effect on your Minnesotas or a Maryland or a UCLA, just Washington State, like programs that you never in your sane college football mind would have associated with championship contention. It could be that. I think in the aggregate, Rich, the big ripple effect it has is on a recalibration of the hiring model. Because right now, anytime there's a job opening, we just had several of them. We had Penn State, at Auburn, LSU, like all these jobs open. And if you go look at the hot boards, it's like the same 10 names. It's a really, really incestuous kind of pond water-esque feel to coaching searches. And Indiana just wins a national championship with Kurt Cignetti. And hey, Cignetti was always there. Anyone could have gone and hired him. No one did. Indiana took a risk. A calculated risk, but a risk. And so I just wonder whether it be an athletic director or maybe in the future GMs are making the hires in college football, which is a whole separate hour of a show we could do. I just wonder how much it shakes up the hiring process. Because to me, everything about this sport right now works downstream of the administrative groupthink that goes into hiring.
Yeah, I hear you on that. But I'm just wondering, why can't Cignetti find the right quarterback again? Why can't he go ahead and replenish in the portal just like everyone else? Maybe he's already done it, you know, because these things are so crazy. He actually built the next roster or held on to his current one while going on this run in the college football playoffs. You know, it'll be tough. I mean, we had Fowler on the day after the game, but why not? I mean, the guy does seem to have a keen eye for talent and a keen eye of motivating him. Josh,
I fully expect them to be there. Like, to me, I mean, I don't want to look, I'm not Kurt Cignetti, so I can afford to take them for granted. I'm so high in my respect for the sustainability of what they've built. I expect them to be there. You and I talked about this last time. We were talking about whether it's just kind of a one and done thing. I don't get that sense at all with them. This is not some rental car situation. Like, they bought. They're there. Josh Hoover is a name that you should get familiar with. That's the TCU quarterback. They've already got him. Yeah, they already brought him in the transfer portal. He will be one of the talks of the sport next year. They were a very, very big destination for portal guys this past cycle. So they're going to be stocked up. They're going to have the athletes to compete, maybe even more so than they just did. I think the million-dollar question becomes, will they ever have the kind of just overall like team dynamic they just had? Because talent notwithstanding, like it takes a certain amount of it to compete, and they met that minimum baseline. But the team aspects, just the overall, the mortar between the bricks that makes a team, I've never seen anything like Indiana this year. So I think they'll be in the dance, or they'll be able to get in the dance for several years to come, because I think their model is sustainable. But what we just saw right here is special. And I will never assume that anyone, including Kurt Cignetti, could just boom, snap his fingers and easily replicate that.
Josh Pate here on the Rich Eisen Show. And again, another reason why I reached out is our conversation last week, where you said how many kids are still left in the portal with 2 days to go, 10,000, close to 4,000 in the FBS alone. And you know, this is not just the sports world. So many things happen in the real world that we just move on because we've got other distractions, other things going on. The portal's now closed, and I'm wondering how many kids were left in the portal when it closed, because nobody talks about that, Josh.
Yep.
What do you got for me?
You know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like in the South, like when a big tornado outbreak happens.
Right.
And the news focuses on it for 24, 48 hours. They move on. Community's still devastated. And you're like, where did the coverage go? Kind of in the in the sports world to remove all the tragedy from it.
Of course.
To maintain some of the same elements. That's kind of how the portal is. So I'm looking right here. I hit up my buddy over at On3, Pete Nakos, this morning, who just has a line to the portal. He himself is not in it, but he has a line to the portal. Okay, so just FBS. So we're just talking about the 136 FBS teams. 1,200 of them are still active. They are still in there. So to give everyone a little catch up here, the portal closed last weekend. Mm-hmm. And the rule isn't you have to have signed by the time it closes. The rule is you have to be in by the time the portal closes. Now, there's some very high priced legal types out there that we could double box me with right now. And they would say, this is all cosmetic. This is all a mirage. There is no window. The NCAA just put some dates on a piece of paper and they're crossing their fingers, hoping everyone abides by it. But really, legally, there's nothing stopping anyone. As long as you can get enrolled in school, you can portal whenever you want. All right. With that caveat added, right now, the portal is closed, according to the NCAA, which means if you're not already in it, you can't transfer the rest of the year. 1,210 are still active in that portal, meaning they have not signed anywhere. And I'm just telling you, I mean, people can like it or not, it's a reality that several of those guys will never play football again. Several of those guys are in there. And then you notice when we put that clip out from your show last week, there was a mixed reaction in the comments. And some of the comments were, oh, this is terrible, you know, because I pontificated that jackals posing as agents were giving really bad advice to kids. And that's not my opinion. That's fact. But that wasn't the sentiment in the replies. The sentiment in the replies was largely, well, good, they deserve to learn these lessons, blah, blah, blah. And people are taking their distaste towards the overall climate of college football right now. And the only face that they can aim that vitriol at is the players. And to me, the players are probably acting no different in the current climate than any player at any point in history would have acted given these current parameters. So, yeah, a lot of guys just ended their career by going in the portal, some of them by listening to adults who allegedly have their best interest at heart, and they never even knew they ended their career when they made that decision.
So it's possible that of those 1,200 plus players still sitting in the portal, that there'll be, what, a spring game injury, a training camp injury, and they'll be able to switch or find a spot because the other teams that they portaled away from haven't taken them back or been told you're not welcome back here. Like, so they're just waiting for an opportunity similar to a pro football player that doesn't get signed via free agency, got cut. Is that basically what their experience is going to be like over the next few weeks and months, Josh?
I imagine some stories are going to be like that. You got to remember, as much as people chuckle under their breath when I say this, there is still an academic element attached to this where you can't just go sit at home or sit in the dorm. Like, there's this small matter of you needing to be in class, you needing to be enrolled somewhere. So as long as you're enrolled in somewhere, I guess you remain in good academic standing. And yeah, there's no limit. You can indefinitely stay in the portal until you want to sign somewhere. You just got to get enrolled there. But again, and this is why I wanted to say what I said a couple of minutes ago. This is all what's sort of just loosely written on the NCAA banner they're flying behind the plane right now. Nobody knows if it stands up to legal scrutiny. In fact, we kind of know it doesn't. It's just, it's a case-by-case thing as to which of these things have been torn to shreds in court and which ones haven't yet been torn to shreds in court. So I think we're going to have one of the most ridiculously legally contentious off seasons in college football history, because that's all you're going to hear about for the next 6 months, unless you just plug your ears, is a bunch of legal fights about what the NCAA can and can't enforce with the transfer portal.
The only pushback or caveat I will give to what you just said about an academic a piece to this still existing is, unless there's somebody in the portal that's already graduated.
Right.
And the thing that leapt out at me in the days leading up to the national championship game, Josh, was an exchange between Carson Beck and a reporter. And I think the reporter must have have an angle, or she had a story about, you know, the academic portion of all of this, and asked Carson Beck, was he in class like last week or the day before or something like that? I'm paraphrasing, but that was the general gist, is asking him, hey, you know, were you in class this past week? And he laughed and he goes, I graduated. I haven't been in class in 2 years, said the quarterback of a play of a team that was playing in the national championship game. And I'm like, wow, like, that's a professional quarterback. Like, he does not go to class because he's already graduated. And he's just being paid to play football, but it's for the University of Miami Hurricanes rather than the Miami Dolphins. That's a fact, Josh. That happened, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just had to bring that up in response to you saying what you just said.
Well, you got to remember. So also the life cycle of your modern day high level college football player is they enter high school knowing I plan on playing college football. So they get themselves in such a situation where they're ready to early enroll in college. Some of them skip their senior year in high school. They rearrange their schedule academically where they meet the academic requirement to graduate high school. Ryan Williams did this at Alabama. And so he's enrolled as a 17-year-old freshman at Alabama, but they early enroll. They're on campus all year. So they're taking a year-round class load. So, I mean, look, Carson Beck's not the best example of this, but a lot of these dudes are done. They already have degrees. And even if they're just a standard four-year guy, I mean, a lot of them are working on a master's by the time their second half of their junior season, just because they've already met the requirements.
So before I let you go to your massage or whatever you're doing next, let's do this. Let's have a little bit of fun where your answer will not be remembered or I won't bring it up if it's wrong. But if it's okay. Right, you'll be like, I called it on January 22nd. The Heisman Trophy winner for the upcoming season is,
yes.
Is
who? Josh Pate. I need to write this down. Oh. Hold on a second.
The upcoming season. I want you to call your shot, but I don't know what the event is. Probably December 10th or whatever the date is. Right. This day is going to happen. It'll feel like it's December 11th by the time they announce it because you just sit there going, okay, can we just get the name, please?
I got a boat riding on this.
You do. Yeah, I know.
I got futures up,
okay,
too.
So okay.
No pressure,
all right.
Josh.
Make your call, Josh Pate. What do you got for me? It's silly to even ask, but I'm doing it.
No, anyway. It's not. No, okay. It's not. This is Big J stuff right here. I want to go. I want to go Dante Moore at Oregon.
Ooh, hey. Whoa.
Okay. All right. Why?
Yep.
Why do you like?
Yep. Oh, see, the why is the that. That's what I don't like. I don't like the why.
Okay. All right. I asked. I don't get a follow up. I agree. Okay. Very good. I appreciate that. Does that make him the first overall pick in the draft, though?
I think it's Arch Manning still. Okay. I mean, it's Arch Manning's the answer, obviously, but that's the one everyone's going to give. That's boring. So it's January. No one remembers this. Dante Moore's got a kid named Evan Stewart coming back. DeCorian Moore becomes a sophomore, second-year player. So they'll be loaded at the wide receiver position.
Okay.
And also, is there a hungrier program in America right now than Oregon? They've been disposed of two times in a row. I mean, thoroughly disposed of in the postseason. So new coordinator up there, but they hired from within. So there's continuity in the system. I think Dante Moore is about to have himself a big year.
Josh Pate, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. And look for my calls. I'll just try and be less intrusive when I text.
Yeah, I'll send you my acupuncture schedule. If you could if we could just work that out.
We'll dovetail it. I'm there for you. Thank you for thank you for the time.
Appreciate it, brother.
Josh Pate's College Football Show on YouTube and then, of course, on the ESPN family of networks. Do you have a Dante Moore card? Or just
I don't.
I think we're about to get it.
I'm going like on there. They're buying on eBay right now. Yeah.
Don't. This is you have this look of you're about to tell me the odds.
I am.
Yeah. Of course. That's.
But how are there odds?
What do you mean?
I just asked the stupid question.
No,
just because if he gets he gets it right, when is the Heisman Trophy ceremony?
Probably the first weekend of December.
Right.
Of 2026.
Well, no, the first weekend of December is usually the it's usually the conference championship games, which they have yet to do away with.
Second Saturday in December?
Hold on.
Rich, let me just tell you these odds while you look this up. So my man Josh Pate, beautiful bald brother, said Dante Moore of Oregon. He's 13-1 right now, which is a few back. Same odds as Sam Levitt and Gunnar Stockton. Julian Sayin also at 13-1. Jeremiah Smith, 13-1. They are behind the favorite once again. Second year in a row, the offseason favorite, T.J. Jefferson. Arch Manning is 8-1. CJ Carr, 8-1. Josh Hoover, 11-1.
Hoover.
Yeah, Josh Hoover, who would, again, we just mentioned is going to be the next next quarterback at Indiana.
And if you're curious, Malachi Toney, who we fell in love with during the college football playoffs, only 18 years old, 27-1.
Did you mention Jeremiah Smith's name?
I did, 13-1. He's the same odds as Dante Moore.
Yeah, the old Google machine here says it's likely December 12th or 19th.
Got it.
So December 12th, so he just did it basically 10 months and change in advance.
Yeah. Your guy, Rich Eisen, Bryce Underwood, 30-1. Lenora Sellers, also 30-1.
So Dante Moore, if he says, I'm not going to the draft, I'm staying put, and he wins the Heisman Trophy, and he's part of an Oregon National Championship team. Good decision.
Boom.
Because he's probably got some new sneakers to go along with it. Remember FSU? The joke was to call him Free Shoes University.
Free Shoes University.
Yeah, that was so disrespectful.
I think that's who Dante.
That was supposed to be an insult.
I know.
Yeah,
that was so.
Now it's like that's who Dante Moore plays for.
Yes.
You know.
I was like,
it's a crazy world we're living in now.
Oh no!
Oh yeah, that was used to be the gag.
Free Shoes Free University. Shoes.
Yeah, Florida State stood for Free Shoes right. University.
That's right.
Not anymore. Except what one time Dion gave me free shoes.
See, you didn't wear them, did you?
Did I tell you that story?
I told you that story. I vaguely recall.
I'll tell you this story.
Yeah.
All right. So Thursday night football, first season of Thursday night football, I think it was 2006. We're on the road.
Yep.
And Dion noticed Mariucci was wearing these worn out shoes.
Yeah.
So you always joke that he's going to get Gucci's for my Moochie. Right.
I remember this. Have I ever told you this story?
No?
A long time
Gucci
ago.
Okay. Please. Gucci's, I have to get Gucci's for my Moochie, is what he said. And so sure enough, Mooch shows up on a Thursday night with these new Gucci's.
Yes.
And all of us kind of go to Dion like, you know,
where's the love?
Where's the free shoes here?
Yeah, what gives?
From Florida State.
Shoes, you know, where's the free shoes? Except for Rich.
You know, and so last game of the Thursday night football season was Giants in Washington. And we all go to our hotel rooms. And in the hotel room, in a shoebox, were new Gucci loafers for everybody.
Woo.
He got it for the entire group.
That's baller.
That is baller.
He got Gucci's
got
for
a shoe collection. Is,
he got Gucci's for everybody.
Let me tell you, if I hit the lottery, brothers, all you guys are getting some Gucci's.
I'm looking at Gucci sneakers right now.
And they weren't sneakers. They were low. They were dress shoes, like, and they were incredible.
Right,
yeah, did you wear them?
I did. I wore them so much they fell apart.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Were.
They're comfy, right?
They were free. All right. And I say that to you, Mike, because that's your language, sir.
Hey, so, Rich, if you want to buy Jordans for your Jefferson anytime, I'm a size 13.
Okay. So, let me make a note.
All our
Gucci's for my Moochie.
I remember.
Said Deion Sanders, and then he got all of us. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Don't go anywhere. Our higher register is still to come for championship weekend.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial on our program. Let's go to Elliot in Kansas here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Elliot?
Hey, Rich, can you hear me?
I can indeed. What's up?
Hey, do you recall my win-loss game at the Seahawks before the year started?
Hold on a minute. You're a little muffled, pal. I don't know if you're getting out of your car or you're on your Bluetooth or something. For the Seahawks, huh? Hold on a minute. I've got the paperwork right here. Elliot in Kansas had him go 13-4.
Ooh.
What was their final record?
Just one off.
Nice. Man. Well done.
Yeah, you had him 13-4.
Attaboy.
You had him losing the last game against the Niners. If you'd only gotten that one, you'd have nailed it. You just stuck the landing.
Well, I didn't get any of the right losses correct, but that's neither here nor there. Funny fact.
Hold on a second. I've got your paperwork here, sir. You had him losing at the Rams. That's one of them. So,
well, I think I had him losing to the Commanders.
You did, and the Cardinals
after the bye
on a Thursday night. Yes.
And then maybe Carolina late, I think I did.
No, you had them beating Carolina in Carolina. You nailed most of them. So, but anyway, what's on your mind?
That, and then some of the Seahawks hype videos for the playoffs have Chris Brockman and TJ in it talking about them taking fourth in the division.
Oh, boy.
Not true on my end, but
absolutely.
All right,
I get it.
That's all I had for you.
Thank you, Elliot in Kansas. Let me just think. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Elliot in Kansas. Bringing up again for those of us who have takes for a living, we're lucky that that's what we do for a living, right? That we have takes and it's somewhere that can be disseminated and people will either take it in or not. Or get angry at you for having that opinion. It's manna from heaven for those who want to play the "you never believed in us" card, you know. And so that's why I don't know if anybody notices on NFL game day morning whenever I lone wolf a team and the camera zooms in on me howling with the silly lid, wow. Right? I will always look right down the camera lens and give a smile. Because if I'm going to be clowned by somebody's social media team, I want it to be at least a good picture of me. Because sometimes whenever I would do that and I'd be clowned by social media, like one eye would be open, it really wasn't very good. Yeah. The screen grab wasn't flattering. So if I'm going to at least be screen grabbed and aggregated against my will and because of my lack of proper prognosticating judgment, I want it to be a good picture of me.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And we're not going to, and that's why Kurt Warner is always like, really, you're going to make me predict the Super Bowl before a snap's played? Really?
I mean,
like, what's up with that? Well, you never believed in us.
People do put a lot in something that we come up with 10 minutes before, in particular, that thing, 10 minutes before the show started. Like, hey, give us your, who you think's going to win this.
NFC West standing.
Oh, you have no idea. I will be watching back some of these videos, holding my breath, saying, oh, I hope I'm not going to appear here because I know I didn't pick this this franchise to win that game. Am I going to be in this mix? Am I going to be in that blender? Is it my time in the barrel for my opinion? You know? And then the Seahawks popped a video out today, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yep.
Even though I finished the power rankings finished with them being one, and I fully believe they are. You had an overreaction Monday subject matter. Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl, is not an overreaction at all.
Yeah, they're the betting favorite right now.
I totally get it.
And here's the deal. I rode the Seahawks defense to a fantasy championship.
So. You were the one that had them fourth in the division this year.
Yeah.
I mean.
So. There's that.
And I realized after week three that was not
good. I think I said their offense was boring or something or just not.
Yeah. Could be.
I don't know.
Could be.
I gotta think, Seattle.
Never know.
Yeah. In August, it wasn't looking great.
Well, plus, Sam Darnold, the way he finished.
Yeah.
That was
the thing. That's the way people will then ascribe to the way he will perform in Seattle. And so far, that is far afield.
This was
a video of when Mike McDonald spoke to the team for the first time. Everyone should seek it out. It's on the Seahawks social media sites. And he is addressing the team in a very calm demeanor, not like one of those like peeling the paint off the wall type voices raised, just a real chill guy talking about having a plan for everyone in the room. And then he said, I just want to take you on a, you know, for a moment, stick with me here. And he says, like, I want to take you to the NFC Championship game in Seattle on a cold sun. You know, it's 30 degrees. The 12s are out there. And he starts mapping out what that day is going to be like, that an opponent's going to come in and they're going to know that we have just spent 9 months stacking opportunities and that we're going to be, and he laid out exactly the type of team that the Seahawks are currently right now. He laid out a vision for him. And the vision was, imagine the NFC Championship game. Now, it wasn't that year. It's now the following year. But nothing's more powerful. I said this to Chris when I showed him the video before the show. Nothing is more powerful than a coach laying out a vision and it happening. Yeah. I mean, they will be like, tell us more of what you think is going to happen, coach, if we do what you say we should do. Like, okay, you told us and it's happening. And it's unbelievable. Nothing's more powerful than that. And in terms of, you know, being clowned by social media for being wrong, at this time, I believe I was on the show saying, what's Mike McDonald doing taking down all the photographs on the walls there in that facility? Of that, that was the story, that he came in and he started removing pictures off the wall,
Super Bowl champion,
of the Pete Carroll era, like erasing it. And then pushback came from the facility in the Pacific Northwest saying they didn't remove it completely. It's just in, you know, on one screen on a, you know, one of those digital frames of all. It's not removed. It's just not omnipresent. And that Mike McDonald was saying essentially that's in the past. This is now our current vision for you. And the way you laid it out, saying the NFC Championship game, let me tell you, like, everyone should look for it on social. This is the way it's going to be in Seattle. It's going to be 30. I don't know. What's the temperature going to be? Did he, you know,
say, did he nail that?
Mike Mack, the mentalist, this too? Did he foresee this? You know,
it's going to be in the 30s.
Okay. That's what he's saying. Yeah. Is it going to be wet? I mean, by the way, sitting here saying it's going to be a cold, wet day in January Seattle. In Seattle. It's not like, you know, it's not like he's the farmer and that's the almanac.
No, actually, it's going to be partly cloudy. Not a lot of precipitation.
Okay, well, at any rate, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And Mike McDonald had this to say about the challenge of facing the Rams for a third time, right? Is that the setup here for this? About getting Sam Darnold ready. Very good for this NFC Championship game, coming off of a win in which he didn't have to do much because everybody else did what they needed to do, from Rashid Shaheed returning the opening kickoff 13 seconds in, and then the defense being all over Brock Purdy and everybody else who's remaining healthy for the Niners.
Sam continues to get better. You know, he's not going to be a full go the whole week, so we have a plan. We're going to work through it, see how the day goes, and then we'll kind of take it day by day and then take it to tomorrow. But he won't be, like, throwing every ball, every play for the whole week, no.
Yeah, so just not like going full Sean Payton and admitting my guy's still a little bit banged up, but I mean that's your answer right there. You know, and just again his demeanor.
Yeah,
you'd think like what a defensive minded head coach is going to be, you know,
super intense,
right?
Yeah,
that gruff guy.
Yeah,
but he's intense. And in the same way, I think, you know, I was saying that Ben Johnson effect of the current coaching hiring cycle is out there. You know, Jeff Hafley in Miami, you're hearing it's a defensive-minded head coach again in Pittsburgh because that's what they do. The Ravens, I think, are going to go because that's where Mike McDonald was, and he wasn't going to be the new head coach there because the timing didn't work out.
Nope.
In terms of John Harbaugh took the team to the AFC Championship game in the year that Mike McDonald was the defensive coordinator and he left to go to Seattle. But, you know, I think Jesse Minter getting the gig there, that's who I was pegging from the beginning. You know, another Harbaugh guy from the defensive side of the ball that can get this scene right. I think Mike McDonald's success in Seattle right now is part and parcel of you're seeing a lot of defensive candidates getting out there, CEO defensive candidates out there for a head coaching gig. And, you know, that's on a day that Mike McDonald was named as a nominee for Coach of the Year. Here's Sam Darnold.
You know, whatever happens throughout the game, whether I take a hit or not, like, you know, it's whatever happens, happens. You know, if I something, you know, tragic happens and I, you know, go down and, you know, can't get up or, you know, then it is what it is. And, you know, Drew, Jalen, you know, they're ready to go. But obviously, hopefully that doesn't happen. But yeah, I'm ready to, you know, attack everything and be ready for anything.
Jalen Milroe. That's right. Wasn't there supposed to be Milroe packages this year?
Well, we heard that after the draft. Didn't see a lot of those.
The same way there were supposed to be Trey Lance packages back in the
yeah,
day?
Yeah, same.
Darnold, when not pressured in 2025, according to next gen stats, 9.2 yards per attempt in the air. That is tops. Ooh. Slightly better than Drake May. That could be your Super Bowl matchup, obviously. Deep pass yards. 853 of those. That's fourth in the NFL. Its completion percentage on deep passes, 52.3%. Woo. That's tops in the NFL. It's like a handoff. The Rams right in the middle of the pack on allowing deep attempts. Listen, I could go on and on about the next-gen stats. We saw this matchup on a Thursday night. And if that game plays out on Sunday, I mean, same type of game, we'll be talking about it for years.
Sign me up.
Right? And, you know, I got this number, too. I think it's going around. Let me get this for you. Because I saw it this very morning. In the history of the Rams and, the NFL popped this one out. Did you see this on Instagram? 57 matchups. The Seahawks, 29 wins. Rams, 28 wins. In those games, Seattle has scored 1,223 points. The Rams have scored 1,222 points.
Oh, wow.
So forget about them being evenly matched this year, every year, through all the years.
All time, yeah.
NFC Championship game, baby. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the show. We're getting ready for Albert Breer, top of hour number three. Coaching carousel, quarterback carousel, all sorts of carousels. That's coming up here on this very busy Thursday.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Pella Windows and Doors. Sometimes it takes a timeout to regroup and call the right play if you know about a winning team. So when it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan. They're not just window and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs and their experts install them. They do it every day. And that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen.
Pella, Pella.
Hey. All right. I'm trying to get the name of the person. Is it Annie Carter? Or just Carter. Okay. Carter in Columbia, Missouri. What's up?
Hey, Rich. First-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Carter?
I know I might be a little late to the game, but I just want to say I knew, like, I don't know if it was last week, a couple weeks ago, you said, we're going to miss the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Okay.
I'm a Chiefs fan, and I'm going to tell you right now, last Saturday I got my wife out on a date, and I got her involved in that game while we were eating. She was so excited, so I am not missing the Chiefs this year. I enjoyed the playoff football so far, and I'm satisfied with who's in there right now and what's going on. And then I also want to throw in, you were talking about John Candy, my favorite John Candy movie, Uncle Buck.
That's a good one. Carter, has anyone told you sound like Mahomes a little bit?
No one has ever told me that. My sisters tell me I look like Travis Kelce, though.
Oh, listen.
I know.
Yeah, Google me, Carter Moran, State Camp, Missouri, high jumper. Google me.
Do you win? Is it that simple? Oh, there he goes.
Why are people doing this to me?
They're just hanging up.
And Carter, it's not my fault.
Carter Moran?
Let's see. Stay on the phone.
Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah, high jumper. Yeah, here we go.
Okay. Did he win? He won. Is that the drop down just like the Signetti Googling right now?
Yeah.
Again, we did it on the TV only for the radio audience that's since rejoined us. If you Google Kurt Signetti now, somebody at Google decided to come up with the way of dropping down from the More tab. Yup, he won.
I mean, that is awesome.
That is the case right now. So, but at any rate, let me just say this. Okay. I just did an entire segment about how I have takes and people remember them if they don't get them right. I am not afraid of freezing cold takes. I'm just not.
You don't care.
I do this for a living. I'm thrilled to be able to do this. I'm thrilled that doing this for a living led to a reunion with ESPN and Disney. There's so many great things about the opportunity I have every day here to lament the fact that I get things wrong and people will call up and say, you got it wrong. And this Chiefs fan is just like, you know what? I was sitting there with my wife and watching these games. They're nail biters. I don't miss my team in the playoffs. You got to be kidding me, Carter. I want to hear from another Chiefs fan that is looking at these playoffs, okay, where CJ Stroud, who the Chiefs knocked out, throwing hand grenades up to the Patriots, all right? I want to see them also watching Josh Allen turn it over four times, only to get bounced by a Broncos team that he put 30 up on anyway. The AFC Championship game features not Joe Burrow, you know, but Jared Stidham. No Lamar also. You don't think Chiefs fans are sitting at home or the Chiefs are sitting at home going, damn it. Of all the years for this thing to fall apart, it's this year?
They had a nine-year run, man.
It doesn't matter. It's like the answer is, honestly, how many yachts can you water ski behind? The famous Wall Street line? You know what I mean? Like, greed, for the lack of a better word, is good.
Yeah.
When it comes to this sort of thing. You don't think, seriously, I want to hear from you, Chiefs fans.
React
to me.
Well, you're friends with enough Chiefs fans.
I know. And I know one in particular that's sitting there, you know, loving watching these games because they are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting here saying, we'll miss the Chiefs because the games won't be as compelling. And I'm way off, clearly, on that. But Chiefs fans saying, I don't miss my own team being in?
Oh, yeah, you got to
get out of here with that.
Yeah, of course.
Sounds like, if I may.
Sounds like not a real Chiefs fan.
You know what I mean? Like, Chiefs fans have got to be sitting here all the years. We could have done it again.
Or Carter was a guy who this was the first January that he's been able to go out on a date with the missus.
Yeah, you don't know.
10 years.
No, I get it.
There's 11 other months for dates.
Yeah, but it's 1 year. Like, if you're in year three and you don't do it, fine.
Where's the panic, Chiefs fan, that they're afraid it's over?
Yeah, look, they're out there.
See?
They're out there.
Right, and they're wondering.
They're crazy.
What if any of the last years of Mahomes' teams, including the ones that didn't win at all, if they were in this tournament, they'd be ready to tear apart anybody else.
Yep.
That's another opinion. I don't mean to denigrate a fan's love of football.
No.
As a whole. But for him to say, I don't miss my own team in it. I mean, my goodness. All right, here's Gary in San Antonio. I love it. I asked if there was a phone line open. Here he is. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. I am a diehard Chiefs fan.
Yep.
And yes, I miss my Chiefs in the playoffs.
Okay.
I'm glad that the Patriots are back because all of those fans that hated on the Patriots, you know, and hated on the Chiefs when we were winning, now you get to see what the alternative is.
Yeah, it's us being back. Nobody wants that, Gary.
You know, and nobody's going to want. And
you don't want either.
Hey, Gary, and if the Chiefs pull off the 2.0 that Brady pulled off in the middle of his career, if the Chiefs pull that off with Mahomes, you know, all the Chiefs fatigue's going to come right back too. You know,
and it helps that we get Bieniemy back.
That's a good idea. Thank you for the call, Gary. I appreciate that. Yeah, as you know, Gary Bieniemy's the OC, and that was a conversation of, you know, were they missing his red assness?
Yeah.
And were they missing his, not just his spirit, his coaching spirit, his spiritedness, but his two cents? You know, run that back. But yeah, man, I was, the games have been incredibly compelling. And I know you're like, you know, who wants to see Jared Stidham in the Super Bowl? If he does make the Super Bowl, it will be
great.
A story that so many people will be paying attention to. Who is this kid? What can he do? Where did he come from? Gives just, again, 100%. I know Patriots fans don't want to hear this, but it does give credence to anybody in their job that's wondering if they're going to ever get ahead, or they're, you know, how do you have to, you know, to stay ready, got to be ready, that whole business, that somebody has that actual storyline and he's an avatar for that sensibility and that storyline, everyone's going to lose their minds. Certainly the casual fan that doesn't really know much about Jared Stidham, but.
And I think that would be the majority of
people. I know that. And that's what people are like. I don't miss the Chiefs. Again, do we need them for a fourth straight Super Bowl? No. I'd rather have Jared Stidham in his story, or Drake May in his story, or Mayor Stafford again. And here's Sam Darnold in the Seahawks.
Bottom line is, well, I guess it won't matter. I was about to say the viewers, but it doesn't matter who's playing.
Like, yeah. I know. The only person who maybe misses the Chiefs is, what, Jake from State Farm? I don't see him very much.
Yeah, he's...
Is there anybody on these teams hooked up with Jake in the way that Pat is?
Good question.
Just wondering.
I don't know.
All right.
Next year.
Albert Breer coming up in hour 3.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.